Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And so I think we can say that the love affair between Donald Trump and Fox News has long been over. In 2011, he was effusive about Megyn Kelly, said she was a great debate moderator, but after the first Republican debate, not so much. And now he's saying he'll skip tomorrow night's final Republican debate before Iowa because Fox won't replace her. He's been tweet bashing both Fox and Kelly all day. Here's Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, on Good Morning America when asked if Trump will be on the stage tomorrow night.
The short answer is I just don't think so. Look, here's where we are. You know, Megyn Kelly is totally obsessed with Mr. Trump. She's done multiple shows on why he shouldn't even be involved in this race. He's participated in six debates. He's won every single one by every poll. He's not afraid to debate anybody. He does more television.
So, lots from the Trump side. And by the way, you should see the press releases going out from Fox News as well about Trump. Lots to talk about. Let's get to it.
Here and now, 2016.
Joining us now, Here and Now political analyst Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Hello to you both.
Hello.
And Paris, let me start with you since the big news here at this moment is on the Republican side. What do you think is going to happen here?
This is fantastic. You know what? This is the best thing, Jeremy. This is the campaign of breakups. First, it was Donald Trump broke up with Ted Cruz. Then he broke up with Fox News. And I think this breakup is going to be one that, once again, works for Donald Trump's favor because he doesn't have to do this debate. He's leading in Iowa and he's leading nationally. So there's really no downside for him not to the debate.
Right.
This is the same tactic that Rand Paul did. He chose not to do the undercard debate last week. And you know what happened when he did not do it? His poll numbers went up and he got himself back on the main stage. So there is a strategy, a smart strategy to be said for those who choose not to do them.
But, you know, it's once again, it's taken. There is no oxygen left in the room. I cannot breathe because, I mean, we're not Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, Martin O'Malley,
who?
Ben
who?
Carson.
Right.
We're not hearing about anybody. And so, you know, when Trump tried to ask him, a reporter tried to ask Trump about, you know, a lot of things, and everybody's been focusing on this, and somebody tried to ask him about his shifting stance on abortion. Let's listen.
I just don't want to talk about that right now. Everybody knows my views, and I think my views are very plain. Go ahead.
So yes. He doesn't have to, you know, talk about Paris. He doesn't have to talk about anything.
At the end of the day, his supporters don't, frankly, care what the specifics are as it relates to his plan. And so he just hired a senior policy advisor away from Senator Sessions' office this week. And so now you may see more policy. But as it stands, his supporters stand by Donald Trump, the person, the entity, the brand, not Donald Trump, the policymaker, the candidate.
Well, by the way, I wanted to just pick up on that thought of his stance on abortion, because there was an NBC reporter who had a quote from him from a while back when he said he was very much pro-choice, although the second half of the quote was that he was against abortion. And there was a dust-up over that being brought up. But what's going on the Democratic side while this is all going on? Because it is, you know, it is, as we said, it's taking the air out of the room, Angela.
Yeah, I think we are not really concentrating on the Democrats or the fact that there's an Iowa caucus just around the corner. To the point, right? There was just a Democratic town hall on Monday. We're not talking about that anymore because we're so busy talking about Donald Trump's element of surprise that he likes to reference in, of course, The Art of the Deal and everywhere else. He's winning that game and he is outsmarting the competition for sure. So whether he participates in the debate or not, which is probably about a 99% chance that he will not, folks will still be focusing on him, whether it's at his Wounded Warriors event that he said he would hold at the same time, or the number of questions that will be asked the other candidates about him, his policies, and what makes them different.
Well, we did hear from Bernie Sanders today, who met with the president, by the way, President Obama. And
that's
spoke
the only
with
way you could get your voice out today.
Yeah, well, he spoke with reporters afterwards.
Who heard about that?
Well, we're about to hear about it now, if you'll just let me talk about it. Sanders said that he and the president discuss the U.S. military and its role in the Middle East. Here he is.
And as I mentioned to the president, I, in my small state of Vermont, went to too many funerals of wonderful young people. And I'm very happy to tell you that in the last few years, I have not gone to funerals of young men or women in our military. I think what the president is trying to do is the right thing.
What the president is trying to do is the right thing. Now, the president had previously met with Secretary Clinton, and earlier this week he gave that interview to Politico, which was seen as not necessarily an endorsement of Clinton, but it came close. Angela, what's going on in the Democratic side right now, especially when it comes to President Obama and the people who supported him in 2008 and 2012?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is Bernie Sanders is probably realizing that Hillary Clinton is onto something. You saw in the Charleston debate, and you certainly saw with this past Democratic town hall, that Hillary Clinton is not just embracing President Obama's policies. She's talking about her very important role in his administration and the fact that he trusted her to implement some of these policies. So now Bernie Sanders, who's the same Bernie Sanders, of course, who thought President Obama should be primaried in 2012, is saying, hey, you know what? This guy's not so bad, particularly if it means it might help me with some other young people and, of course, African-American voters who it's going to be really tough for him to say anything against the President Obama's legacy and have a good showing among African-Americans in the primaries.
But Angela Roy, again, Democratic strategist, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist, I want to ask you both, just take a second to talk about context here, because we're about to go into the Iowa caucuses. At this time, a few years ago, Howard Dean was still competitive, having the same kinds of crowds that Bernie Sanders is. And then, of course, there was a surge by John Kerry and John Edwards, and he came in third. And then there was that unfortunate microphone that was left over on the night of the caucuses, and he admitted the scream with the flu and all of that. It's just a reminder that anything can happen, although Donald Trump seems to be changing that thinking.
He's way ahead of the rest of them. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah. So your thoughts on that, where we are in the race?
I saw someone say this the other day, and it's very true. The only poll that matters is the exit poll. And so it still remains to be seen if these people are going to come out and actually vote for Donald Trump. They probably will, but we never know, because things can change. A lot can happen between now and the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary.
Well, including that Michael Bloomberg may jump in.
Which is a factor that is going to be very hurtful on the Democratic side, because, if Bernie Sanders turns out a win in Iowa and New Hampshire, which he might be able to do, that's going to be trouble for Hillary Clinton. And there's an avenue for him to get in.
If Republicans get to pick their billionaire, my money is on Bloomberg. And I would just say, because he shores up independents on both sides and folks who aren't satisfied with either slate of candidates. I think for the Iowa caucuses, when it comes to the Democratic Party, I think history tells us a very different story than where we are right now. So Barack Obama, of course, won the Iowa caucuses, but Hillary Clinton was in a virtual dead heat with John Edwards in the Iowa caucuses. So this is just a very, very different primary. Right now, based on what I've seen, I know you all have probably followed the fact that both campaigns are, I'm saying both, like Martin O'Malley's not there. Sorry, Martin.
He's not.
But wow, Bears. But they're putting out instructional videos and know-how on how to compete in the Democratic caucuses. So much of this depends on what happens in those rooms. There are 1,600 of them, 1,681 precincts. And so there's a lot at stake, but there's still a lot of time.
Let's talk about the people who are kind of running for second place in New Hampshire on the Republican side, because people like John Kasich are getting a lot of attention this week. He's been endorsed by several newspapers, including the Concord Monitor in New Hampshire and the Boston Globe. We asked Kasich, though, about the idea when we interviewed him earlier this week about how he may be just running for second. Here's what he said.
We don't kind of play for second. We're just going to see. We're going to work as hard as we can. And then on the February the 10th, we will sit down as a team and figure out how we've done.
Paris, how many tickets out of New Hampshire are there for the candidates? And on that point, are the other ones who don't come in second, maybe it's Rubio, maybe it's Kasich, maybe it's Bush, whoever, are they likely to get out of the race and rally around the establishment person who's going up against Trump or Cruz? Or will they just stick it out because they've got money through their super PACs and other things to stay in for a long time?
I think because of super PACs, you're going to see these people stay in. You saw Santorum do that in 111 states, and he stayed in last time around. He's still in for some reason now. And so you have Rubio, who's already planned a major donor event in March. That's March, with donors down in Florida, which tells you he's in it for the long haul. So these candidates are serious about, they won't say they're playing for second, but you know what? There's two primaries, the establishment primary and there's the anti-establishment primary. And for the establishment primary, look for people like John Kasich and Jeb Bush. And Jeb's people are pumping out emails saying Jeb is tied for third. Jeb is in third place. Anytime you are promoting the fact that you're in third and excited about being in third place tells you all you need to know about the length of their commitment to winning this thing.
Okay, Angela Paris, why don't you jump in? What's one thing that we overlooked? We got a minute here. One thing, one candidate, something that we overlooked.
The unsanctioned New Hampshire debate and whether or not it will happen on the Democratic side.
This is MSNBC and the paper up in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire Union Ledger. Right. And so what you have happening right now is Martin O'Malley and Clinton saying that they want to do this debate. And guess who? Bernie Sanders, who's in a very, he's got a huge lead in first place, saying he doesn't know if he wants
to
do it.
Well, to be fair, he's saying that he won't do an unsanctioned event because he's afraid that then the Democratic committee will cut him out of future debates.
But convenient when he said he wanted three or four more.
And there's a new book that's come out about Chris Christie. Look to that.
We talked to the author of it yesterday. You can find that at hearingnow.org. Our apologies to the New Hampshire Union Leader.
Right.
Not Ledger, Angela.
Oh, I'm
correcting you. Not the Star Ledger. Angela Ryan Paris-Denard, thanks so much as always.